I'll have what she's having. This week on the Story Song Podcast.
Now hear the tale.
Everybody, welcome back to the Story Song Podcast. I'm Dan McInerney.
I'm Rachel Oakes.
And I'm Michael Gazelle.
Every episode, we walk you through the wonderful world of a story song. And this week, Michael has brought us a song about a Japanese anime called Girl Crush, and I'm very excited.
No, this is a proposal I brought you guys for a restaurant that I'd like to open with you called Grill Crush.
Oh, nice. No. I thought it was that hit new board game by Hasbro, Girl Crush, when you figure out who your girl crush is.
You got the dud. It looks just like you, Poindexter. Anyway. No, this song is called Girl Crush by Little Big Town. Already full of contradictions, because how could it be a little big town?
Man.
And also, this song is sung by a girl, and from what I understand, girls have crushes on boys. But we're going to get there. We'll get there. So, Michael.
Yes.
Can you tell us the story of this story song?
I can. Girl Crush tells the story of a woman who is obsessed with another woman who's now with someone she's in love with.
I mean, it's an interesting use of the word crush, because she's crushing on her because she wants to be her, because it's a jealousy thing where she's with the man that she wants to be with. So she's like, she's obsessed with this woman who's good enough to be with the man that she wants to be with, at least in her mind.
Right.
So it's mm-hmm. interesting. It's an interesting turn of phrase there in Girl Crush.
But maybe methinks the lady doth protest too much.
No, you think so?
I don't know.
Shakespeare, let's find out.
It could be. I mean, I think there are a lot of interpretations that it's open to.
Okay.
A lot of interpretations all she right. might be open to, too, so who knows?
Hey!
Guys, it's the 90s, like...
God, did you ever think we'd live to see the 90s? Man.
I got a girl crush. Hate to admit it, but I got a heart rush. It's slowing down. That smile and the midnight laugh she's giving you now.
I'm going to say it right in the beginning. This is a great song.
Yep.
This is...
So far, it's a sapphic dream.
It's... I don't know. There's something about... In addition to the lyrics, the instrumentation of the song is so interesting because it's very minimal.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that sort of repeated guitar line in the beginning, and the repetition sort of speaks to the obsession.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I don't mean this in a bad way, but there's not much to this song.
Right.
I don't mean it in a bad way.
It That's clearly intentional.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I would think so, yeah.
Well, I'm saying it's giving that feeling
They just forgot like half of the tracks. They're like, there's supposed to be so much more to this song.
Right.
This was our epic.
Right.
Where are all the strings?
This was our biggest ball of twine in Minnesota.
Sound engineer comes in and he's like, all right, guys, so today we're recording the drums, right? What, you released it? I put a sticky note on the computer that said, no, I'm not done yet. And you guys, all right, you just released it, fine.
Oh, my God.
Whatever.
Oboe Third Chair just recorded their part.
This orchestra is $5 million an hour.
Yeah. But yeah, it has that sort of like, you know, when you're feeling that way, that sort of like slow, you know, I don't know, drawn out feeling, right, that the song is giving you.
Yeah, it gives you sort of the feeling of obsession and romance at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Everything the song does, it does really well, and it does really economically.
You know what it is? It's that person at a college party with the acoustic guitar in the corner, and you're like, they're going through something.
Mm.
They're going through something. Ay, ay, ay. I mean, stay away from them, but they're going through something. They want everyone to know it, and they don't need much to tell everybody.
But that's also interesting. It's like, I can imagine her at a party or something where mm-hmm. everything around her is so loud, all she hears is this kind of muted guitar sound.
Yeah.
Because it's not just the guitar. There's almost like a... It almost sounds like there's a little bit of distortion to it.
I just want your interpretation. What is a midnight laugh?
A laugh that happens at midnight?
Okay, well, that was very straightforward. Thank you, Rachel.
Michael?
You know that thing where you wake up in the middle of the night and you just start laughing and then you just go right back to sleep?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe something like
I
that.
I don't think
she's
that's
a midnight,
what they're talking about.
She's a midnight laugher. Curious. What laughs at midnight?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, she's saying she likes her smile, and then I was just wondering what she meant by a midnight laugh.
I mean, I think a little bit it sounds like she's stalking them and she's looking at them while they're like in bed together.
Okay.
You know, that's kind of what I'm thinking.
It's midnight. They're watching Johnny Carson. They're right. laughing. And yeah. she's outside their window.
Yeah.
I think it's the important part of this, I think, is the laugh. I think it's like a flirtatious laugh.
Right.
Right.
It yeah. just happens to be at midnight. And why are they together at midnight? They're
well,
just
that's
friends.
What I was wondering. Yeah. Like, she's watching them from across the room, right? Just let's just say for argument's sake. Mm-hmm. And then the midnight laugh is the like the little, you know, like he whispers in her ear and she gives like a little ha ha ha. But it's clear that that's like a step into the boudoir.
I do.
Right.
I
that
do,
this
yeah.
is she sees where this is going. It's not like he, you know, whispered. She was like, ha, 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 ha. Oh my God.
Oh my
Gary,
God. You're
Gary,
so funny.
Gary, you gotta hear this. You gotta hear this. It's so funny.
I do like
whatever he says.
Do that
she's
joke again.
And like, she's leaning in closer.
It's the midnight, you know what I mean? Guffaw.
sure.
If it is not already a thing, I do like the idea of the midnight laugh being a type of sexy laugh where it's clearly it's on now.
Yeah,
this wasn't just a laugh. This was a midnight laugh.
Right.
You know?
I think that's what it is, right?
It's yeah. the kind of laugh where, like, you spit out your drink and you just, like, snort the entire time. Like,
sure.
And then you know it's on.
Yeah. It's when you see somebody, like, slip on a banana peel.
Yep. Yep. That's right. Yeah.
You're like, oh, man, that guy went down hard. Yeah. I am so horny. Let's go.
Because it's the type of laugh that you get from the SNL sketch that's on at midnight. Yeah. Yep.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Terrific.
You know.
I think that's around the time that the host introduces the band, so it's...
Yeah, I was going to say. Or maybe like a Weekend Update.
Yeah. Good stuff.
You know. Yeah, yeah.
Way to go, Michael Che. Yeah, I
mean, look, yeah, I was going to say, when Colin's rolling, you can't... You're just going to...
They
bust
make
out with
each other tell
laugh.
Each other's jokes. It's hilarious. This whole first mm-hmm. verse, I mean, the song is set up so great. The whole first yeah. verse, you would not, I mean, it sounds like a woman singing about her crush and her love of another woman. Right? There's nothing.
I agree with that. Up until the last where she says that laugh she's giving you now.
Yes.
That's the
yeah.
only part that's giving
well,
us
no, no.
Yes and no, because
who? It, there's no...
Who is
oh,
she
no,
jealous
I agree
of?
You.
Yeah.
Right, right. No, I'm
I mean,
saying,
it's also... Yeah, there's... Yeah, there's also... I mean, there's nothing in this. I mean, we'll get to it. But there's no... I mean, there's... Like, this just makes it seem like she's just in love with this woman that she's talking about.
Yeah.
Right.
Because
I mean,
even
I,
the midnight laugh she's giving you now... She's not saying she's not saying it's because she's giving him the midnight laugh. It's because she is giving the midnight laugh.
Right.
You know, like she, it's not, at this point in the song, it does not feel like it's about jealousy.
Correct.
it feels like it's about attraction.
It's about longing. Yep. It's about longing for the person with the midnight
yes.
laugh.
I mean, I think her, she's got it so bad. Well, first of all, do they ever say the other person is a man?
They don't.
They don't, right?
They don't.
Okay, they don't.
Okay. All right. See, I was, perhaps I was interpreting in my own gender normative way about what was happening. But all right, that's fair. That's fair. I'm going to leave, I'll leave that door open for now.
I
but
think it's just fine. That's society doing that to you, Dan, and it's okay.
Thank you, Rachel.
It's not
thank you for
fair,
saying that.
But
it's society's fault. That's not me.
Well, calm down.
I've been saying that forever. Everything that I've ever done wrong is society's fault.
Man.
You know
wow.
what? How about this? How about this, Twitter? Cancel society, okay, before you come for me.
Which brings up an interesting point that
yeah.
there are three characters we hear from in this song. The fourth character is society.
Yeah, it's like it's a character.
Yeah.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you for being brave enough to say that.
I want to taste her lips. Yeah, because they taste like you. I want to drown myself in a bottle of her perfume. I want her long blonde hair. I want her magic touch. Yeah, because maybe then you'd want me just as much. I got a girl crush.
For the moment, okay, let's say that the third person in this triangle is a man, just in mm-hmm. order to say that even if it is, I think she is so obsessed with this woman being with the man that she wants to be with that the lines are starting to get blurred,
right?
Even in this first stanza, like she and like you can imagine that, right? That she's studying this woman so closely that it is becoming like an obsession that's bordering on her, like, you know, falling in love with her or being attracted to her or just wanting to be her so bad.
Yeah.
Right. That, you know, that, you know, and I think we can, Rachel, I think you'd agree, you know, women, they're a little more loosey goosey with that stuff just in general. You know what I mean? I think they're more willing to.
Sure, I'll go with you on this, Daniel.
No, I'm just saying they're more willing to talk about the way a woman looks and be like, oh, she looks great. Look,
yes.
You know, whatever.
Yeah, I think so.
Whereas like
yeah.
a man
they're
was
more
like
open. Again, yeah. we'll put society on blast for that. But yeah, sure.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, I think so.
You've done it against society.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Take it to
right.
Twitter again.
Character in this song.
Yep, that's right.
But I mean, I think the male version is something like, and I'm Bruce Willis, right? Where the old thing was, all the men want to be him, all the women want to be with him, right? There are certain right. ones where, you know, guys are like, oh, I can see myself in him. But for the most part, there's usually like, other boys have cooties, so we're going to stay away.
That's right. And I think that but the thing that makes this also work is the line, want everything she has, because it right. works both ways, that like she mm-hmm. wants this person, but she also wants what this person has. It works on both of those levels.
She wants absolutely. Whoever she's flirting with, and she wants the qualities of this woman.
Yes.
Right. Well, she wants all those qualities because they're, at least in her mind, is what is attracting this third person that she really wants. So she wants to become this person in order to get that third
and
person.
I do think, I mean, not to like to make this, it's weird to call it heteronormative, but mm-hmm. because it's called Girl Crush, but not to make it heteronormative, but the twist doesn't work as well if she's not talking about a man. Because if she's got yeah. a girl crush on a girl right. that's in love, that is in love with another girl, then it's mm-hmm. like, why are you putting girl in front of it? Just say you got a crush. It doesn't right. help any sort of twist in the story. Do you know yeah. what I mean?
It's like she could say, it's just a little crush.
Oh,
kind of
no.
like I faint every time we touch.
Oh, no.
That's all. She gets she could say something like that.
She could.
Yeah, I
she
was.
Could.
She so
might
waiting
get sued
for
by.
Didn't.
She
can't
might get
believe
sued
we
by,
got so close.
Hold on.
So quickly.
Sophie B. Hawkins? Is that who that was?
No.
No.
Who did
no
that
way.
Song? I don't know.
No.
It could be wrong.
Sophie no, B. Hawkins right. was Damn, I Wish I
she
Was Your
Lover. She was Damn, I Wish I Was Your Lover. That's right.
Anyway.
We'll get back to that later, listeners.
Yes.
Okay. So then she says, I want to taste her lips. Now, this is the one where you're like, whoa, what's going on in this song? I want to taste her lips. Yeah, because they taste like you. I want to drown myself in a bottle of her perfume. So then this is where, again, I think you can go both ways, because I want to taste your lips, but because it tastes like you, I want to drown myself in a bottle of her perfume, but because that smell would attract you, right? Mm-hmm. I think both interpretations of what's happening could make sense in there, right?
Yeah. I think you could look at it as, yeah, because they taste like you, as the explanation or as the backpedaling, where she's just like, I want to taste her lips. Oh, but because, of course, society, because they taste like you, you
right,
know?
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm just imagining her just like saying it and looking over, and there's just like society, just a guy with a sign that says society on him. She's like, oh, because he tastes like you. I'm back, society. I'm back where I'm supposed to be.
But everything...
this whole song is taking place at her conservative parents' Thanksgiving dinner.
We're staging this like it's a play.
Right.
Act two, scene two. Yeah. Thanksgiving. Later that year.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything in this song is the obsession. The fact that it's about sort of obsession is there's an intensity to everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she doesn't want to have the same perfume. She doesn't want to wear her perfume. She wants to drown in her perfume.
Right.
Yeah.
It's that feeling of when you have a crush on somebody. That you there's no halfway with it.
It would be bad enough to drown, right? But first of all, perfume must taste terrible.
Ugh.
As you're drowning in it. And then second of all, that's gotta be really expensive to fill like a pool or even a bathtub with perfume so you can drown in it.
Yeah, but if it's one of those like CVS in the style of obsession.
Oh,
or,
okay,
you know,
sure.
One of those things.
Yeah, yeah,
in
yeah.
The style of Chanel number
maybe
five.
She just
imitation. She just, what are they? I forget what they're called.
Well,
they're like
no
somebody
idea.
Imposters or something.
Mm. I have a bottle of cologne I got for my 17th birthday. I believe it's still in my drawer. I don't think.
Ooh,
have not
that
used
vintage
it up yet.
Dracar Noir.
I'm just saying. Maybe I use it like once a year, so it's still around. Actually, I think it's just Old Spice.
Is it enough to fill a pool?
Weirdly, yes. My parents went to Costco, so they got the jug of it.
Where can I get a pool of cologne?
Mm-hmm.
Aisle 7? Oh, yes. That is where we keep our pools and our colognes.
And our cologne, so.
It's really one-stop shopping.
You gotta, yeah. I want her long blonde hair. I want her magic touch. Yeah, because maybe then you'd want me just as much.
Mm-hmm.
So they're talking. You know, she's doing her little giggle. She can smell the perfume. And then she's just like, is this your card? And she's like, wow, that magic touch. That is just, how did she do it? I didn't even see. I was watching her hands the whole time. I didn't even see when the switch must have happened.
Oh, I thought it was one of those... like vibrating beds in motels for 25
sure.
cents.
That's what she wants. That one, your magic touch bed. I bought this from a hotel actually,
yeah.
And I put it in my house.
Yep.
I have to put quarters in every time, but it's totally worth
Works
it.
Works great. Works great. Yeah. I want her long blonde hair. This borders on single white female situations. If
yeah.
you don't know, that is a movie. I'm not just saying a random type of person.
Well, I mean, I think that movie is a great example, right? Where she gets so obsessed with
the life
roommate.
Of
is that,
the person. Yeah.
Yeah. That she like wants to become her.
Yes.
So, and I think maybe there is like a, you know, psychosexual obsession
yeah.
thing going on in that movie. So, I think this is a similar idea.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Oh, I thought it just meant that she wanted hair extensions.
Yeah. No,
I think both.
Well, that too.
Yeah. It's this song is interesting because it is it romantic? No.
No, I don't think so.
But it sounds like it's the tone of it feels romantic, but it's not when you dig into it. Much like a lot of songs, it sounds like it's supposed to be romantic, like you care for this person so much. But the next line could be, I want her locked in my basement so I can study her every move and then like make sure that I move exactly like her and take over her entire life.
I mean, I think the song is open about that, that this is an obsession.
Right.
Right. That this is this is bordering on kind of crazy behavior.
One of the things that I find so interesting about the song is it's about her obsession is with the woman who's in love with the person she's in love with. Like there's that extra level.
Totally.
That's really, really interesting. Like this is not a love song to, in our heteronormative interpretation of the song, to the guy. It's about the woman who the guy loves. So there's a weird disconnect.
Yeah.
That makes the song absolutely fascinating.
Yes. Yeah, and I think that's what makes it work, obviously. Otherwise, it would just be like any other obsession song.
She's kind of like Sandy in Grease, like where she...
God, it always comes back to Grease. Is there any song that doesn't come back to Grease?
No, not at all. Hopelessly Devoted has nothing to do with Grease. No, for two reasons. One, at the end of Grease, Sandy changes everything about herself so that she could be the person that Danny falls in love with.
Mm-hmm.
And two, the woman in this song has a flying car.
That's true.
Man, that is on the nose.
I mean, I do want to say, I think people in Grease really focus on the fact that Sandy dresses like a greaser, right? But let's not forget that Danny shows up to the carnival dressed like a dork. Like, he's ready to change for her. She flips it on him.
Yeah.
But it's not like she's the only one.
Yeah, but he so quickly gives it up.
But Rachel, he's Danny Zuko.
So quickly.
You can't contain that kind of animal magnetism. Like, of course he's going to burst right out of it.
He's got chills that are multiplying. But ironically, he takes off his sweater.
Yeah, and that's... Wow. Sandy changes everything about herself. Danny puts on a sweater.
That's very true. That's very true. She had to basically like squeeze herself into the tightest pants you've ever seen and learn how to wear heels and tease out her hair. She took up smoking for crying out loud. And he's like, this is a little itchy.
I don't get no sleep. I don't get no peace thinking about her under your bed sheets, the way that she's whispering, the way that she's pulling you in. Lord knows I've tried, I can't get her off my taste.
So where do we think this is happening? Is she at like a party or something and she's like watching them across the room or something?
No.
Or at a bar or wherever they are?
No, I think at this point she's by herself. I think she's tossing
and turning. Oh, I see. She's imagining this.
I think she's tossing and turning in her own bed, thinking about what they're doing under the sheets and saying, she's whispering to you, she's pulling you in, and you know, she's spiraling at this point.
Yeah, I think the first verse she could have been within like range of them, like she could have been seeing what was happening. By the second verse, I think they've gone away. I think she's alone thinking about what's happening under his bed sheets. I'm assuming it's a pillow fort.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
No, absolutely.
She just wants a pillow. Or she's really thinking about the thread count.
Some Egyptian cotton.
Mm-mm. She's like, oh my God, it must be like sleeping on a cloud.
So good. Mm. So good. Yeah, definitely I think that they're at a bar in the, but I think she kind of just happens upon them in the first verse. And then here it's, she's just taking it home with her that this is what, that this is what's happening.
I have another question. Mm-hmm. Again, let's assume this third person is a guy.
Sure.
Or it doesn't even have to be. But let's, for the moment, let's say it's a guy. Is this her ex? Is this, or is this just someone? I guess what I'm saying is, does this third person even know who she, our protagonist, is?
To me, I think it's just somebody she wants. I don't get the sense that it's an ex, because there's nothing in here that says to me, like, the way she's whispering and the way she's pulling you in, like I used to. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That makes sense.
So I think it's just somebody that she wishes she was with.
Then here's what I will say to her.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of fish in the sea.
Not for her.
So go on. Oh, there's not? No, that's too bad.
Yeah, there's a lot of fish in the sea. You know what? Fish stink. That's what I tell you.
There's a midnight laugh again. Lord knows I've tried. I can't get her off my mind.
Good line.
I want to taste. Mm-hmm.
I think what's kind of cool is that Lord knows I've tried very nicely bridges the two lines surrounding it. So the way she's pulling you in, Lord knows I've tried.
Mm.
Also, Lord knows I've tried. I can't get her off my mind. So I think she's Lord knows she's tried everything.
I like that. I mean, I do also, the girl crush thing is amazing because it is, you can take it both ways, because she says, I can't get her off my mind. So is it because she's of what she's doing with this other person, or because she's slowly becoming more obsessed with the girl herself, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I think this, my kind of interpretation of this is there's an obsession with this woman because she's with this guy that she's kind of in love with, and the more she gets into this girl crush, it's like, oh, these are feelings I haven't had before.
Right.
I'm just gonna think about those later.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Let's just keep saying this is because she's with that guy.
Yeah. So I think there's
since I live in a little big town.
Yeah, there. This might also be a song of self-discovery.
I mean, to quote Community, this better not awaken something in me. So after this, she repeats herself, but I want to taste her lips. Yeah, because they taste like you. I want to drown myself in a bottle of her perfume. I want her long blonde hair. I want her magic touch. Yeah, because maybe then you'd want me just as much. I got a girl crush. Mm-hmm. I got a girl crush. Hate to admit it, but I got a heart rush. It ain't slowing down.
The first time I heard this, I thought I heard at the end, and it's slowing down. And I was like, oh my God, it's slowing down. So see, she is.
Oh, good.
She's over it now. That's great. So
good for her.
Good for her. Good for her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love it. Wouldn't it be great if at the end, it just turns out that this woman turns around and says, I don't even want to be with this guy. I'm just with him because you want to be with him. And then they both fall in love together, and then they run away together in a Subaru. It'd be beautiful.
Can I throw out a made-up word?
Always.
Thruple? Can we go? Can we do that?
I mean, listen, that is the way to handle this when you think about
I'm just trying to help here. I'm just trying to find a middle ground. That's all.
I think.
Don't attack me.
Yeah.
blame society. Society invented thruples. I didn't do
I think what she needs to do, I think what our little big town needs to do is write that on a piece of paper, make a paper mm-hmm. airplane, and then throw it through the window that she is clearly looking at them through.
Mm-hmm.
And just be like, thruple, check yes or no.
Oh, man. Honey, why did you stop? I don't know. A paper airplane just hit me in the butt. hold on, let me just see what this looks like real quick. I mean, I'm open to it. I don't know. I'll leave it up to you, but
let me ask you a question. What kind of crush are you open to? Regular and or girl?
Mm. Yep.
Orange?
All of the above?
I also love the way the song ends with just, it ain't slowing down and it stops. So it leaves itself open to like the repetition. Like it's not going to slow down. It's going to keep going. Like this is the fact that the entire chorus is repeated again and ending it on, it ain't slowing down. You know, they could have ended it on, I got a girl crush and that's it. You know, mm-hmm. like the, it ain't slowing down is more about the obsession, more about the intensity, and more about the continuation of it.
All right, anything else on this song? Going once, twice, three times a lady. Let's talk about Expanded Universe. What do we got?
Expanded Universe!
Well, you always have to have a buddy system, and I think Mr. Brightside would be a great buddy for Girl Crush.
Absolutely.
Right? I'm not saying they should get together because that would be a nightmare, I think. But they could definitely be buddies and wander their obsessions around town together.
Well, I was going to say, you stole mine, which is fine, Rachel, because we were thinking alike. But I was going to say, this is the second song recently where someone is imagining two other people doing it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I was going to ask, like, is she Mrs. Brightside?
Okay.
Is she like his,
by it,
his
you mean
counterpart here?
Making a pillow fort. I think that's interesting. I think Mr. Brightside and Ms. Big Town are obsessed with the same woman.
Yeah.
Oh. Interesting.
Huh.
Well, maybe they can meet outside in the bushes and then they fall in love.
Hey, this is my stalking spot. You go over there.
You know, they're stalking at the same time. Like so one goes to get like sandwiches.
Oh,
while the other one's stalking, and then they switch off.
Okay, sure.
Is this a stakeout?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like a stakeout.
It's another stakeout.
I'm going to get the coffee and donuts. You keep an eye on the place in case they leave.
Bag of pistachios? Oh, yeah, bag of pistachios.
Oh, man.
I think this song is the next logical step in the saga of Jolene.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, wait. So, well, then that brings me back. Do you think Jolene did steal Dolly's man, and now she's obsessed with, she's even more obsessed with Jolene.
I mean, in Jolene, she says, please don't take my man. But if we're, you know, blending the two songs together, who knows if it actually was her man or if it was like her man that she was in love with that they weren't necessarily together.
So who's Jolene in this situation, Michael?
Jolene is the lady.
Is
upon, the girl crushy.
Yeah.
Is
the lady upon whom Ms. Big Town has
a crush,
a girl crush.
So that would make the protagonist. That would make the protagonist Dolly.
Gotcha. Yes.
Okay. Got
Dolly
it.
Big Town.
Got it. Thank you.
I mean, you think our protagonist is like, you know what? Forget it. I have to acknowledge the fact that I'm actually in love with this woman. And then she goes up to a friend. And she's like, can you tell Laura I love her?
Aww.
Tell her to meet me at the stock car races.
And driving my car called Live Forever.
You know, she also, if she's in love with this woman, she don't build her world around no single man. She's a modern
that's
girl.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's a modern girl.
Without a doubt.
Very, mm-hmm. very modern, I would say.
And, you know, if she doesn't actually have a relationship with this guy and she's sort of obsessing over this woman who might not know her, like this might just be her imagination running away with
her. That's true.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Do you think one problem might be she looked at this woman, like, she's totally heteronormative, like I've been saying, totally straight, but she just had me look at this one while she drank love potion number 9, and that's what really
yep
threw this whole thing off.
It's just a it's just a wacky miscommunication situation.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
I think we can leave it there for now. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk about the history of this song with Story Behind the Story.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
All right, we're back. It's time for a story behind the story. How did this story come to be? Before we do that, you guys, we got an email from Darren that I want to address, mostly because I got to be honest, he called us out.
in
this email. So Darren wrote an email and he said, I think at some point you need to discuss how Rick Springfield's Jesse's Girl, Tommy Two Tone's Jenny /867-5309, Everclear's Volvo Driving Soccer Mom, Bowling for Soup's 1985, and Fountains of Wayne's Stacy's Mom are all the same woman. And also I think she's Pearl's daughter. So,
oh man. I mean, that's the clincher right there.
I mean, I like this theory a lot. She's a sprightly young woman in the 80s and then grows into a Volvo driving soccer mom who's obsessed with 1985, but she's still looking good. She's still Stacy's mom. I like that. Here's my one problem with this theory.
Okay.
Is if Jesse's girl is named Jenny, then as a couple, they're Jesse and Jenny. And that's weird. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't keep saying Jesse and Jenny all the time. Are Jesse and Jenny coming?
That's why Rick Springfield wants to break them up.
Yeah, he's like, this is too much. It's they're obnoxious. They're like, I'm Jesse. That's Jenny. Can you believe it?
Oh my God. Can you imagine the away message on their answering machine?
Oh no.
It's like too cute.
Hi, this is Jenny and Jesse. Call 867-5309.
You've reached 867-5309.
Nayine.
If you found this number on a bathroom wall, please stop calling.
Jenny, it's for you again.
Again. Some scumbag in a bathroom. I don't know why I'm handing you the phone and not just hanging it up. But
no,
whatever.
Jesse, it's Rick. It's Rick.
I'm sorry.
This is awkward.
Yeah, what do you guys think? Any other thoughts on this theory? I mean, I love it.
I mean, well done, Darren. And yeah, way to call us out on it.
Yeah. I mean, our silence was deafening on this topic. I think we can all agree to that.
In fairness, we've only done one of those songs. So maybe we'll if you include Pearl, we've done two of those songs. So maybe we would get around to it. So Darren's just kicking us into high gear.
As you should. Guys, please hold our feet to the fire. Don't let us get away with it.
It's the only way.
We will. Okay. We'll get away with not mentioning that Jesse's girl and Jenny from 867-5309 are the same person. We'll do it if we can. If we think we can get away with it, we'll do it.
So
hold us accountable, folks. Please.
We play loosey-goosey with the rules, baby. Somebody's got to hold us accountable.
Hey, if you want to hold us accountable or if you have an expanded universe theory or any other comment on the show that you want to make, please email us at Michael. What's the email address?
info@storysongpodcast.com.
Fantastic. So shoot us an email. We'd love to get it. And if it's good, if it's like, you know, it's all right, we're in it on the show.
If you have a theory and before you send it to us, you want to run it by Jesse and Jenny, you could reach them at 867-5309. That number again is 867-5309.
And that's with any area code. Any area code that you dial.
You got to think when that song came out, the end of that number was so annoying on a rotary phone. It took four at click, zero. Click. Michael.
Yes.
Please tell us the backstory of Girl Crush.
Sure. So Girl Crush was recorded by country music group Little Big Town. Mm-hmm. The single was released December 15th, 2014. And
it's a Christmas song.
It is a Christmas song.
There you go.
What do you want for Christmas?
A gallon of cologne. Perfume. A gallon of perfume.
I want to be her.
How about Barbie's Dream House?
Yeah, I'll take that too. That's fine.
It was the second single from, I guess, now that you mentioned it, their Christmas album, from their platinum-certified sixth studio album, Painkiller.
Nice.
Little Big Town is a country vocal group founded in 1998 by members Karen Fairchild, Kimberly Schlappman, Philip Sweet, and Jimmy Westbrook. The group has... they're doing pretty great, you guys. They have 9 CMA awards, 4 CMT awards, 4 Grammys. They won the CMT Artist of the Year Award and are members of the Grand Ole Opry.
That's it?
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was a slow Wednesday. Although all 4 members of Little Big Town alternate lead vocals on different songs, the lead vocals on this track are by Karen Fairchild. The song was written by a trio of Nashville-based songwriters, Lori McKenna, Liz Rose, and Hillary Lindsay, who are known collectively as the Love Junkies.
That's
so fun. Are they collectively known that as songwriters, or do they have a band called the Love Junkies?
As songwriters, they're known as that.
Okay. All right. That's
because
fun.
They write love songs?
I mean, some of their songs are love songs.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know that songwriters could have like a collective name, so that's yeah. Fun.
Do whatever you want.
No, I know. Look, hey, man, I'm just saying.
Live your best life.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know why you guys are attacking me now.
Come on. Tell that to Tin Pan Alley. Yeah.
And other songwriters as well. Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Yeah.
Known collectively as Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay.
Rodgers and Hart. Known collectively as Rodgers and Hart.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Seals and Croft. I don't know if they actually wrote their songs.
Sure. McCartney and Lennon. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. This makes sense. Anyway, Love Junkies, you're doing a great job. I love it. I love that you guys got a name.
Yeah.
Keep at it. You're doing great. Lori, Liz, Hillary, the three of you. You guys have the most country songwriter names of all time.
Yep.
And I love the collective name that you have for yourself. So keep doing it.
The three of them have an interesting writing process. Around once a month, they get together at Liz Rose's house in Nashville for a 3-day workshop. According to an interview with American Songwriter, they begin writing in the morning and continue working until around 2 a.m. Liz Rose said, quote, "We hole up for 3 days. We write in our pajamas. In the morning, the songs we write are our coffee songs, and by late afternoon, with the sun starting to set, we write our wine songs."
That sounds like the best life. Let's all get together once a month and write some hit songs with some coffee and wine.
I mean, we could do that just without the hit songs part.
We do that.
Yeah. I mean, we could write like terrible songs.
The writing songs. I thought you meant the coffee and wine.
Well, that too. Just saying.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds great if you replace writing hit songs with like playing video games and replace
I was gonna say
the coffee with also wine.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a mimosa.
Oh, that sounds good. Oh, isn't in the morning, it? That's nice. That's
I mean, that does sound like us if you replace writing hit songs with, hey, remember that commercial from the 80s? And then someone's like, I do remember that commercial. Hey, wait, remember this other commercial from the 80s?
Hey, remember this toy line that nobody remembers from the 80s?
But except for us. Yes, Rachel, I do remember the Wuzzles. Thank you for pointing it out.
Anyway, what we're saying is we're just like the Love Junkies.
Exact same.
So Girl Crush, interestingly, started with just the title. Lori McKenna had the idea to write a song and said, hey, I want to write a song called Girl Crush. She told American Songwriter, It was one of those hashtag things you see. I was thinking about how sometimes people will use that one just inspired by other women, not necessarily in love with them. That song could have gone in many directions.
Mm. I love it.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you do. Co-writer Liz Rose hated it.
Oh. What?
Uh-oh.
In an interview with Rolling Stone magazine, McKenna said she didn't even explain, she just hated it. So she mentioned the title to their other co-writer, Hillary Lindsay. When Lindsay heard the title, she picked up a guitar and started singing. McKenna told Rolling Stone, quote, "I'm not kidding. Hillary played the first chord and sang the first verse as it is. And immediately after she sang it, Liz said, oh my God, I love this idea. I get it now. I love it."
Wow.
There you go. Turn her around.
Yeah.
That's the wine talking.
She told American Songwriter, she sang the first four lines, and then we all knew what it was going to be. We wrote the entire song in an hour and a half and taped it on our phone. We didn't demo it. We didn't really know what happened.
Listen, I just threw my hands up, and because this is the thing that I get so annoyed at people's amazing talent. They're just like, oh, that was a hit song, but we just knew it was gonna happen, and so we just did the entire thing in an hour and a half and put it on our phones. It was great.
I don't know, I just kind of messed around with the guitar for like 10 minutes, and then all of a sudden $1 million appeared in my bank account. Whatever. Not a big deal.
It was fine.
You know that thing fine. Where the song kind of writes itself? No, I do not know that thing.
No, I don't. I don't know that.
You had two glasses of wine and wrote a hit song.
I would give anything if I knew what that was like.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's like when I have to work really hard to write a song, because I've never written one before, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah, the song just writes itself. It does not write itself.
You know what?
You know, you write that.
Me and Liz are now in a fight.
Oh, man.
Lindsay said to American Songwriter, quote, "I wasn't thinking what it meant, but once those four lines came out, then the song painted itself." They didn't do a traditional demo. So you remember we were talking in the Charlene episode. What is the name of that song? I've never been to
never
me.
Never been to me.
I can't believe I couldn't remember it.
You mean the one that we recorded two episodes about?
Yeah, and that third one.
That song?
I'm not familiar. Mm-hmm. So anyway, in that song we were talking about how Charlene was a demo singer. So this is
sort of
related to that. So for this song, they didn't do a traditional demo. They recorded the song on their phone. Lindsay said to American Songwriter, quote, "Usually you work up a full demo with all the parts. This wasn't. It was so raw." She continued, "We recorded it in as long as it takes to sing it on our phone. 3.5 minutes. We didn't have time to overthink it. You have to turn off your filter to get somewhere special."
That's a good line. That's a good line. That's that perfect is the enemy of good situation, you know?
Yeah. It's a good line. Like, they should be like some kind of writers with lines like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I wonder if they ever looked into it.
She was talking about coffee filters, though.
Drink a lot of coffee.
They should talk about her phone filter.
Yeah, yeah.
She was like, "I'm not a cat."
If you want to write a hit song, you can't use coffee filters. Just eat the grinds direct. Just put it right in your veins, baby.
Yeah, keeps you awake. So McKenna told Rolling Stone, "We wrote it pretty quickly, and because Liz hated it so much at first, we thought nobody was going to like the song but us, so we weren't careful. It's good for your songwriting soul to write a song that's just for you and isn't commercial."
Anyway, we made $1 billion off of it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was commercial later.
Right, right, right.
At first, they didn't think it would be commercial, but that was just the unfiltered coffee talking. So separately and together, the Love Junkies had written other songs for and with Little Big Town, including Sober from 2013's Tornado album. I love being in love. It's the best kind of drug. Drunk on the high, leaning on your shoulder. Sweet like a wine as it gets older. When I die, I don't want to go sober. And Save Your Sin and Tumble and Fall, which were also featured on Painkiller. At the time, Little Big Town was working on their new album, and the writers had a meeting scheduled with Karen Fairchild and Kimberly Schlappman on the same afternoon that they wrote Girl Crush. They played several songs that they had written, and Girl Crush was the standout.
This is on the same afternoon they wrote the song?
They wrote it in the morning, and they had a meeting scheduled with them that afternoon.
Okay, go on.
Kimberly Schlappman said, quote, "By the time the line that gives it away, what the song is really about," I gasped. We were both just taken back by it. They asked if they could have the song. They said yes, and shortly after they got a call that the band was recording it. McKenna told American Songwriter, quote, "It all lined up perfectly. Karen and Kimberly hearing the song right away, and the way it was produced, the way the band does it, is amazing to us. There's so much restraint in that vocal and track. What they did with it was so perfect for the idea and the lyric."
And more importantly, Liz was so mad.
You could actually hear her in the background of the song being like, "I still hate it.
I don't care. I still don't like it."
What's funny is Kimberly Schlappman and Karen Fairchild were, I think, like the fourth and fifth person to hear that song.
Oh.
It was the three writers. I think they played it for their manager or somebody on their team. And then they had this meeting and they played it for two members of the band. And they were like, "That's our song.
That's it's so
don't
crazy.
Give it to anybody else."
That's what I'm saying. It's so, I mean, it goes into what they were saying is there's no filter to it. Like sometimes you need to turn off the filters and just be like, "Well, this is what we came up with this morning.
Yeah.
What do you think?"
Yeah. There wasn't time to run it by other people, get other people's input.
There's no producing to it. You know, it's not produced at all. Yeah.
So Karen Fairchild, who sang lead vocal on the track, told Rolling Stone, quote, "I knew as soon as I heard the hook of the first chorus that we had to have this song. I'd never heard a jealousy song written like this." So that does answer the question that we posed in the first part. This is a jealousy song. This is definitely about the crush on the woman because she has the man.
Right.
In this Rolling Stone article, published in December 2014 when the single was first released, Fairchild said, quote, "It could be a bit of a game changer on country radio right now. There are not many women on the radio and not many ballads with that kind of lyrical content." Little Big Town's Jimmy Westbrook said, quote, "Girl Crush is one of the most brilliant lyrics I've heard in such a long time. It's taking a phrase that you've heard so many times, and just the way it turns at the hook just catches you. It gives me chills every time I listen to it."
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I think it's the idea that there are people who say like, "Oh, I have such a girl crush on her." And again, use it as like, "I'm inspired by this person." And it might not be romantic or sexual, but it's like, "My girl crush is dot, dot, dot," whoever it is. But the twist of it is the idea that the girl crush is not because she's inspired by this woman. It's because she's in love with this man. So it is a different take on it. And now that I think about it, not to go back to the first part of this show, but it's interesting because if a girl crush sometimes is looked on as you're being inspired by a woman a little bit, I don't mean this in a bad way, but a little bit you're taking away the power from the woman because what you're saying is I have a girl crush on this woman because of a man. Do you know what I mean? It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's not woman for woman. Like it's not like
it's not, although I think this woman, our protagonist, is a little unbalanced. You know what I'm saying?
She's got other things like on her mind. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying it's on a level playing field. Like she seems like she's so obsessed with this guy that, you know, she's a little stalkery. That's all I'm saying.
Correct.
It's going from a good thing that's turning toxic. So what I'm trying to say is, Rachel, hashtag not all women. It's like this is a story about one specific woman.
Yeah, that's right.
That's all I'm saying.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm glad I could talk it down.
I think the band's reaction to it is kind of similar to the way we were kind of talking about it. And I think everybody's reaction to it, it's so unique and it's so, in its simplicity, the way that they use the phrase girl crush, there's something so compelling about it that the song just stays with you.
Yeah.
So early on, as we just discussed, it was getting radio airplay. On March 25th, 2015, The Washington Post published an article by Emily Yar titled "Why Stations Are Pulling Little Big Town's Girl Crush and What It Says About Country Radio." So within the first couple of months, stations were pulling the song. In the article, Yar points out that country radio is, quote, "still the genre's most powerful platform," and describes the discrepancy between what country music fans purchase and what radio plays. She continues that as of the publication date of the article, Girl Crush was number 4 on iTunes, but only number 33 on radio.
Interesting.
In the article, Yar says, quote, "And while country music is seen as more progressive now, significant portions of the traditional audience will not tolerate a song that even they wrongly assume is about a same-sex relationship."
Yep. Checks out.
As I'm going to say, when did this song come out?
Late 2014.
I mean, as I say, you were wrong, dummies. So good job being dummies, you dummies. You're not even mad about the right thing, you dummies.
That never happens in society.
I mean, you shouldn't also be homophobic, but you're not even homophobic about the right thing, you big dummies. Yeah. What a bunch of dummies these dummies are.
What they were really mad about was the line about the perfume. They were like, that's just too much perfume.
That's way too much perfume.
You can't buy that much perfume.
No.
And somewhere far out the corner, just be like, just to be clear, I don't like the song. I'm not homophobic. This is me, Liz. I just don't like this song. It's not for homophobia. Just this one particular song I don't like.
My songwriting partners wrote it. It's not my favorite.
I have a cousin who's out. So and he's great. I support him. So it's has nothing to do with that. I just want to be clear on that.
Later in the Washington Post article, she quotes an interview that Little Big Town did on Bobby Bones' morning radio show. In the interview, Fairchild said, quote, just the fact that we're still discussing that, number one, there's so many problems with that whole issue. Mm-hmm. Yar later quotes Fairchild as saying, quote, that's just shocking to me, the closed-mindedness of that, when that's just not what the song is about. But what if it were? It's just a greater issue of listening to a song for what it is. Mm-hmm. However, there is some debate over how big the controversy was. In a March 2015 article, Billboard said that the controversy was, quote, mostly fabricated, and after checking with a dozen radio stations, they found, quote, most are reporting few to no complaints about the song.
Mm.
So who is making up the controversy? Is it the stations saying that, oh, we're getting calls that they don't want us to play it? Or is it the band saying that they're not playing it? I'm trying to figure out. Like,
well, you said they were pulling the song from radio,
so
right?
They were pulling it from radio.
Yeah, at least according to the Washington Post, yes.
Got it.
But I think what they're saying, though, is that like they're like, oh, my God, we're getting all these phone calls. And really, it's like two guys like who have nothing better to do with calling.
So it's the stations and country music stations in general that are like saying, oh, nobody wants us to play this song because it's such a big controversy. It's girl crush. It could be about two women kissing, God forbid. But when really it was just like one dude saying, I don't like this song. Shut it down.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think basically what it's saying is that the controversy was kind of overstated. That there weren't that many complaints.
Gotcha.
But that being said, I made the huge mistake of reading some YouTube comments. And yeah, I think there was a little bit of controversy.
Never read the comments. Never read the comments.
I mean, I don't know if you can go by the YouTube comments, Michael. I mean, read the YouTube comments on anything. And again, it's like a 1980s McDonald's commercial and people are like just screaming about the most heinous stuff possible.
So. Yeah, well. It so quickly just devolves. And you're like, how did this happen? This is about the Wuzzles.
I mean, I'll say this. Mm-hmm. When every little thing is really two in one, you're getting twice the fun. Mm-mm. They're the Wuzzles. Mm-mm. So I think we can all agree with that.
Nope. Not on this earth, sir.
Oh,
But it is.
They are an abomination.
This is an abomination.
It was an Adam and Wuzzle.
I will. I think also.
I mean, I gotta say, if there was a thing walking around that was half bee, half lion, I would be like, that thing's kind of an abomination. You got me there. I can't argue that.
If I saw half bee, half lion, I'd be terrified. It could bite me and sting me. No, thank you.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, it's stinging me while
it's
eating
me to
death. And
it's somehow the leader of animals. No,
who's
going to
take it down, Rachel? Who's going to argue with a bee and a lion? Mixed together.
And he's adorable. He lures you in.
That's how he lures you in.
Man.
Quick, kangaroo, elephant, get involved.
These things must have had names, right?
They did.
Like Bumbleberry or something?
Yeah, I forget his name. But what I was going to say is the YouTube comments could also a little bit be a chicken and egg situation. You know, the radio stations pull it the song. So people get riled up thinking they know what it's about.
Right.
And then don't listen to the song. Don't watch the video. Just comment because it's called Girl Crush and radio stations aren't playing it because obviously it's too sexy.
They've
for
heard
or
about
something.
The controversy.
Correct.
They see the title.
Yeah.
Anyway, controversy or not, Girl Crush was a huge hit. On the Billboard charts, the song went to number 18 on the Hot 100 and number 1 on the Hot Country Songs chart. On the country airplay chart, it peaked at number 3. On the adult contemporary chart, number 29, and number 23 on the adult top 40. Mm-hmm. In Canada, the single went to number 29 and number 11 on the Canada country chart. It also made Billboard chart history. It was the number one country song for 13 weeks, breaking the record for longest run at number one for a group, a record set in 1959 by the Browns, whose song The Three Bells was number one for 10 weeks.
All the chapel bells were ringing in the little valley town, and the song that they were singing.
Long run by the Browns.
Yeah. Well, they were very upset about losing that record.
They rang two bells.
The song won 2 Grammy Awards, Best Country Duo Group Performance and Best Country Song, and the Painkiller album was nominated for Best Country Album. And as of October 2022, the single has been certified 6 times platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America, also known as the RIAA.
Woof.
Wow.
Quite the hit. Quite the hit.
Yeah, that song was at the time everywhere. It's still everywhere and still just an amazing song.
Mm-hmm. I love it. All right. Thank you, Michael. We take a quick break and we come back. We'll talk about the lesson we learned from this song with Lessons Learned. All right, we're back. It's time for Lessons Learned. What lesson we learned from this song? Michael, we'll start with you. What lessons you learned from Girl Crush?
You guys know I've never been a fan of product placement.
Mm-hmm. You're, it's true.
Interesting coming right back after the commercial, but please, Michael, continue.
And while this is a refreshing Diet Pepsi that I'm drinking in my new Corvette, yeah, I don't like product placement, but I will say, I think that we all know that the most affordable way to drown in perfume is with designer imposters. Yes, with designer imposters, you can pay less for your favorite perfume brands. From Channel Number 4 to Alvin Stein to Ms. Rayborn, designer imposters is the affordable way to drown in perfume.
True. I love it. Yep, that's right. Find it, any CVS near you.
So I learned that if you're part of a songwriting collective and you don't like the idea for a song, don't say anything until that song gets recorded and doesn't become a big hit. And then you get to go, no, I never liked that song anyway.
Told you so.
No, I didn't like it. Yeah, I didn't say anything at the time. Because if you say publicly that you hated it and that becomes a big hit, then you're like a dummy.
Yep.
You're like a big old dum-dum when you're like, well, because every time, because they're gonna do like a million interviews about that song. Right?
Yeah.
You're going to be on like every show. And every time they'd be like, well, you know, Liz hated it.
Yeah, that's right. That's
and
right.
Then Jimmy Fallon's like, Liz, you hated it? You hated it? This big hit song? She's going to be like,
oh,
all right, Jimmy,
God.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's just a comment.
I'm sorry.
Jimmy.
Can we just play beer pong and just like get off the fact that I didn't like the song? So just keep your mouth shut again until it's not a hit. And then you'd be like, I knew it all the time. I knew it was a bad song.
Yep.
So
it will always end with the interviewer going, now, Liz, I heard that you didn't like this song at first. What was it you didn't like? Can you believe what a big hit it was that you didn't like it?
Right. Yeah.
Are you usually wrong about things, Liz?
So, Liz, you're wrong a lot. Huh? Is that what I'm hearing?
Do you just ride the coattails of the other two or what?
They have to talk you out of stuff a lot about how wrong you are.
She's
all the
gonna
time.
Be like, guys, it was 8 o'clock in the morning. I don't know what to tell you.
Didn't even have my coffee yet.
I was mixing coffee grinds into wine and just drinking it, right? Can we just back off for like a second here?
Give me a break.
God. Rachel, what'd you learn?
Here's what I learned. If you are going to have sexy times and you want to have a little laugh, you want to make sure it's a nice midnight laugh and you want to practice it, because you know what's not sexy?
Yeah.
A midnight chortle.
Sure.
You don't want a chortle coming out. You want to make sure it's a nice, sexy midnight laugh.
Because the midnight laugh, because like this.
The midnight laugh's like.
Or, right. But also, midnight laugh's going to be like. That's also makes sense.
Yeah.
So you got to be real careful about which midnight laugh you're pulling out.
You don't want to, like, you know, whisper in his ear and be like. Not great. Does not really set the mood.
Exactly. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening to the show. And thanks, Darren, once again, for writing in. Mm-hmm. Be sure to write in if you have any comments or anything you want to tell us. Thank you guys for listening to the Story Song Podcast. You can follow us on the socials like Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. And you can leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser or Good Pods or wherever you are your podcast. Also, if you happen to be on Spotify, leave us a 5-star. You can't do a review, but leave us the 5-star rating there. That would be great. If you leave us a 5-star review anywhere you can, we will appreciate it and we will read it on the show. If you like this episode, please tell a friend to listen to the show. I'm Dan McInerney.
I'm Rachel Oakes.
And I'm Michael Gazelle.
We'll talk to you next time. Thanks for listening and goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Hate to admit it, but I got a heart rush. It ain't slowing down.
Our theme music was written and performed by Jason Flowers. Find him on Twitter at Jason Flowers with a Z. Some of our bumper music was provided by Purple Planet Music.
Our logo was designed by Dan Geva. Be sure to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at @story_song, and on Instagram at @StorySongPodcast.
And don't forget to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find your podcasts. The Story Song Podcast is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcast Network. Go to pantheonpodcasts.com. Thanks for listening.
It's the Story Song.
I need a minute. I didn't do anything. What the f*** was that?
Sorry. There's just 1,000 balloons right there.
I didn't do anything. That was so weird. All right. Oh, I turned around and there were balloons.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.